At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, continuing with General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force, retired. Blaine, I recover what I've read, because you've been at war. I've read about it my whole life. In 1962, prior to the missile crisis with Cuba that was resolved with diplomacy, the Kennedy administration ordered a military exercise in Puerto Rico called ORTSAC, which cleverly is Castro spelled backwards. Right now, there's a military exercise said to be headquartered at Puerto Rico by elements of Southcom, somehow connected to the flotilla off the coast of Venezuela, and linked in fashion to the challenge to Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela, to leave office. At the same time, there's a military exercise underway in Belarus between the Russian and Belarusian forces. Belarus has never been engaged, to my knowledge, in Ukraine to this date. Military exercises do not look like let's give them something to do. They look like preparation for war, or at least you're coming to the edge of the jump-off line. Do I misread history, General?
Not at all. It's ringing very clear, and it's in tune. Military exercises, we do them all the time. In Europe, we have scheduled exercises, I think 55 a year, something along those lines. And they always have the same name, and they always just go. And this one in Belarus, Zapad, is an exercise that they declare and they do all the time. The reason that we see operations hatch out of exercises is because it offers you some advantages. It's like cocking a gun. You get your forces all ready. They're in an exercise mode that your adversary was already told in advance. Here comes our normal boring exercise. But this time you launch an operation out of it at a very high state of readiness. And that works in all directions. But diplomatically, it works because when you call for an exercise, your adversary is getting a signal like Maduro's getting right now that this could lead to something much bigger. And we're looking at military options. And so exercises should always be a flag in our brains that, well, maybe it's just training and readiness, or maybe it's something else. If you overlay the geopolitical situation over an exercise, you get a different picture than just getting your forces ready for whatever may come.
The Kremlin declined to comment directly on the downing of the drones, but spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said, and this is Reuters, the leadership of the EU and NATO accuse Russia of provocations on a daily basis, most of the time without even trying to present at least some kind of argument. That is very clever. You can stand down now, NATO. However, I come back to NATO's obligation under these moments. Who's got overall call on this? Is it Rudy? He's the convener, I understand. But is there a unanimous vote necessary? Is there every man for himself? Poland, as we both know, has a history of a hair trigger, especially when it's Russia.
Right. The Poles are no friends of Russia. But the new president, Naroski, who came to visit with President Trump, they both share a very similar worldview. Both men eschew war and would love to get things back to peace and prosperity and commerce. But under that, in the Polish lines, you've got Prime Minister Tusk, who is the exact opposite. He would be more in line with the Mark Rutas, the Ursula von der Leyens and Macrons and Starmers of the world, who see that war with Russia is just merely an imminent thing that's going to come at some point or another. So they've called for Article 4 deliberations. Article 4 is where we have a big, everybody's there and they'll all decide, is this a real threat? But on the Russian side, we should look to Foreign Minister Lavrov very soon to engage with these capitals, because I guarantee you the Kremlin and Putin have made it his task to reach out back channel or above channel to say, this is what's happened from the Russian standpoint. What would you like to do next? And unfortunately, all of this has diverted attention from what we need to be after, which is getting Zelensky and Putin and President Trump to a table to end this war rather than escalate it.
I mentioned Venezuela again because as of 24 hours ago, the dictator, the illegitimate President Maduro, claimed that he sent 25,000 troops to the seashore to guard against an invasion by the United States. I bring that up because a lot of people are in motion right now. The FT's word is polycrisis. You can't concentrate on one. But I want to look to Asia for a trigger here. We've got a fallen government in Tokyo. We've got a new government not unsympathetic to Beijing in Seoul. We've got pending elections in the Philippines. And right now in Australia, you can't say that the prime minister is hostile to Beijing's intentions. All of that adds up to too many fires going on or potential fires to concentrate on one. Wouldn't those be exactly the conditions our no limits adversaries desire in order to make their next move? Too many things to deal with at once?
That's absolutely correct. You create a multiple level problem set. And, you know, we still have we had an open border here for 4 years, and we've got the cartels and terror groups all firmly represented down here on Main Street. And so Americans think that wars happen overseas. They can happen here, too, as we start to see these crises ratchet up. I would also have everyone look to what happened in Nepal. Don't let that escape your attention, because you had a Beijing-friendly government, the Maoists, that went a bridge too far, and the people rose up and took over the entire country. Not only did they take over the country in a very brutal fashion, the military has now sworn allegiance to these young ones. And that lays a template for some of the things that we see in Europe as European leaders roll up rights, take away social media, censor their own with unchecked migration. So your polycrisis discussion is matching up perfectly with what my favorite macroeconomist Martin Armstrong has in his model, which is the next world war will not only be soon, he predicts, but he also predicts it'll happen like a contagion and it spreads and it won't look like World War I or World War II. And that's what Trump has got to defuse.
A fallen government in Paris, now reconvened with yet another prime minister, a government that can't even look itself straight-lacedly to the king in Britain, and in Germany, the Social Democrats demanding more money for the welfare net. And that's just the beginning. General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force retired, helping me understand what NATO's doing right now and in the coming days.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.